There is some unreliable testing of ATP available, but what we really want to measure is the activity of these enzymes that break down ATP, ectonucleotidases, and they refer to CD39 and CD73, and those things you can measure. If they are up, your patient is down, yeah? That is signaling that you're in the cell danger response, that the retrovirus are active and happy, and they are mutating your system into chronic illness. So here's just one of the many articles. ATP is an extracellular signal for the immune system to attract it, and it activates the P2X receptor, and that triggers the inflammasome with apoptosis cell death with reactive oxygen and nitrogen intermediate. This is the whole thing then of chronic illness in ALS, MS, the Parkinson's and all that, simply as a result of that. And that what this says here, the infectious diseases, that infectious diseases make this response dysfunctional. You know, it should be simply ATP gets out of the cell, gets broken down, and the ADP, AMP, the signals for the immune system, it should come in, clean things up, and you should be well again. But they, because these receptors, the P2X and P2Y receptors, may be subverted by pathogens to modulate the host response. That is where the problem is. Yeah, these receptors are corrupted in most of us. And if it's the retroviruses corrupting them or the Lyme disease, really doesn't matter. We need to treat both. Good. Well, here now we get to the core. So Navio is the big name. I'm going to skip this the slide with the big one. I'm going to skip this one also. So you're getting now to the treatment. And basically, there is a substance. So first of all, we are here. Again, one sentence that makes the whole point that the extracellular ATP acts on the P2Y pyrenoid receptors to facilitate HIV infection. That means when this whole process is going, you've got the leaked out ATP from the cell danger response, and now the corrupted pyrenoid receptors get activated and they facilitate retroviral infection. So what we're really looking at is a vicious cycle. The cell is infected by retroviruses. It creates a response by leaking out ATP, and that in turn makes the cell more vulnerable to be freshly infected with HIV or other retroviruses. It's a really big deal. This is a study on mice. Shows that by actually treating the pyrenergic receptors with a substance called surinine, the whole illness is reversed. And then I hope I didn't take it with me. Yeah. Low dose surinine and autism spectrum disorder. This is a revolution in our field. That surinine is an old antiparasitic drug, was actually on the market since 1916, and has been shown to be dramatically effective in the early days of AIDS, was dramatically effective, and then replaced by the modern AIDS drugs. But surinine has never gone away. And in this experiment, there is 10 children, age 5 to 14, were injected intravenously with surinine, and that's an injection you only need to give every 6 weeks. It's extremely safe, and basically the kids had a dramatic reversal of their illness, dramatic improvement in language, social interaction, and disappearing of repetitive behaviors. Showing also the point that autism is certainly a retroviral illness, at least in my experience now, and everything that we do should be in light of that. Okay, good. So here's again like one more article that shows that purinergic signaling is a huge deal in this is an HIV infection, but also lower down on this page, yellow fever, and also is for use for many different other viruses. Serumine is available in Germany as an injectable. It should be having FDA status because it was in the PDR in the Merck manual in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, and so it's pre-FDA. But it's not that easy to find, but the smart ones amongst you will not have problems with that. I'm going to just jump over this. You know, cannabis has been shown to be very, very effective as antiretroviral medicine, and now Seattle is a pro-cannabis state, and I know where Lee lives, it's going to be the last state approving cannabis as a medicine, but it's absolutely fantastic what you can do with it, especially in autism. You know, the autistic kids that can't sleep, you can do a huge benefit to them by using sublingual small tiny doses of the full mix, and that is at least congruent with the scientific literature on it. So the central sentence here, the endocannabinoid system and the signaling in it plays a key role in many human health and disease conditions of the central nervous system, and with a focus on autism. And so here's just a few small selection of articles on using cannabis in autism, which for me is the most important piece of retroviral infection, because nobody's going to tell me that once you start looking there. So here's just what does the endocannabinoids do in the system when they're stimulated. It releases anxiety, it decreases anxiety. It has an effect of the circadian rhythm. It has to do with social behavior, and it has to do with the whole development of the nervous system. And of course, those things are impaired. This is to make clear that we're not talking just about CBD or THC, but there is approximately 60 molecules in the food plant that all have their own synergistic effects with each other. Interesting here that the conception is very, very control of the cannabinoid system, and if there is a lack of stimulation of the immune pattern. So it has to do with fertility, what we're saying here. And here's a one that I didn't know, but the fresh embryo, yeah, has cannabinoid receptors in it that are hugely important, that when they're stimulated, the embryo develops normally. Now, there is other sources of endocannabinoids from other plant-based sources, but the main source, of course, is still forbidden in many states. But, you know, just looking at the blastula stage of the young embryo, that it has cannabinoid receptors that need to be stimulated, that was new for me. And then my sentence here, why did God create cannabinoid receptors in an embryo? Embryos don't smoke or vape, so why is that? But it means those things have been our food for millennia or longer. So here's a few things about the development of the baby. Now, don't forget here that cannabinoids are a strong antiretroviral agent. And so I'm pulling the point that the clinical benefits observed from it cannot be separated from the antiretroviral. called CB1, drives corticospinal motor neuron differentiation during the pregnancy. That's really, really important. Triggers more and outgrowth, the new connection of nerves with each other. That's the basis of learning. And then here's another article that shows that the nervous system development is highly dependent on these things to be stimulated. And of course, that applies largely to autism. Okay, so what do we do to diagnose? Well, there is a substance called CD26. I already mentioned some other CDs that have a huge effect on proving the presence of activated retroviruses. Basically, this substance here, DPP-4, is also called CD26. That substance is an indicator of retroviral activity. If it's high, it's good. If it's low, it's bad. And then this beautiful article here, the CD26 usage as a surrogate marker for antiretroviral therapy. So the CD26 increase positively correlated with viral load decrease. Yeah? So the higher the CD26 goes, the better your patient. So we can monitor the progress in our patient that way. But I'm going to skip this one. And then the second one is the famous megalase. Some of you were involved when megalase was very popular, and then we really didn't know what to do with it. We found out that megalase was hugely increased in our chronic Lyme patients, and we tried to get them out, get the megalase levels down with different initially injectables. We're not allowed to mention those names anymore, because then we get found with a gunshot in our chest floating in the river. But megalase is a simple test that even LabCorp is doing, and the level should be below 0.8, and most of our Lyme patients have 2 or 2.5 or even 3 or 4, and I never understood that this was actually a marker for retroviral activity. Next one. So, Rantes. Rantes is an incredible marker that we've been looking after for 10 years, but we misunderstood it as a marker for toxins coming from the cavitations in the teeth. Rantes down at the bottom here is what it stands for: regulated upon activation, normal T cell expressed and secreted. It's a cytokine, it's a group of cytokines that are highly, highly inflammatory. And we know now that it is actually a marker for retroviral activity and maybe the least expensive. It costs in Germany €40 to get this test gun. In a lab in my hometown in Berlin, and it has become our main marker whether the retroviruses are active, whether we're succeeding in treatment or not. Good, and then here is what does Rantes do? Well, when we take it out of the jawbone, so there's the wisdom tooth extraction sites appear to be the main breeding place for retroviruses in most people. And this is where we have a huge increase in cavitations in that area. The cavitations are holes in the jawbone, not holes in the teeth. And what is Rantes known to do? Well, it inflames the inner lining of the blood vessels, it inflames the joints, it is tumorigenic, linked very strongly to lymphatic cancers and different lymphomas, very strong link to breast cancer, very strong link to the speed and the severity of metastasizing. It has effects on the central nervous system that's been linked to MS, Parkinson's, and astrocytomas. And it is hugely linked to the mast cell activation allergies. And how many of you are talking about mastocytosis and all the stupid things that are discussed? And in the context of that, none of your teachers that mentioned the retroviruses as being foundational of NMR cell activation. Okay, good. And then we're almost there. Here's Julie Mikovits' article where she linked chronic fatigue syndrome with retroviral activity that got her in big trouble, where basically she was sabotaged from some dark places within the government and people supported by it. And she was put to jail without proper due legal course and held long enough in jail until she could not finance her lab, the rent of her lab, the employees that she had, and basically was driven into bankruptcy over it because she was tracking the retroviruses and found them into more and more illnesses being the causative factors of many of the things that we're all struggling with. That's a book plague. Here's from Judy's work. Basically, she looks at other markers in the immune system that are either reduced or increased in chronic fatigue. And if it's true that chronic fatigue syndrome, at least most of it, is a retroviral illness, it's worthwhile looking at that. But I showed you the markers that I'm using. Here's another piece of her work that shows that the number of the bars here shows the difference between chronic fatigue patients, or ME, like you call it now, and healthy patients. Yeah. So in chronic fatigue, interleukin 8 is the biggest difference between normal patients or healthy people and chronic fatigue patients, is an increase in interleukin 8 that is a highly inflammatory cytokine. And the second most important one was interleukin 13. Okay, so now for treatment. So I do have to say here, and I agreed with me to do that, that we have a beautiful 3-day meeting in November under Lee Cowden's, Dr. Lee Cowden's guidance. These meetings are fantastic. They're fantastic seminars, and I invite you all to come to the seminar that will be on communicated in this network very carefully. And I will not give you the full treatment. You know, we've worked out the treatment on this. That works beautifully, but I give you some pearls, that some steps that you can already take. Yeah, so, and the steps, you know that I only work with biological agents. Maybe I should say that here. The amazing thing with the retroviral infections is that the plants on this planet have been exposed to the same retroviruses, but they had 300 million years longer to develop an antidote against it. And so some plants have incredibly effective agents against the retroviruses. And when we take these plants in appropriate forms, tinctures, powders, tablets, it conveys the healing effect to us. And so the big one here was that I only became aware of a year ago is broccoli sprouts. I know we used that for hormonal cancers and for other things in the past, and that never worked quite convincingly. But this study came out last year on autism, where they gave young men with autism that had not responded to anything, they were all around 20 years old, gave broccoli sprouts and had dramatic improvements in spite of their relatively high age. And me understanding that that's a retroviral illness, we use broccoli sprouts now on all our chronically ill patients with fantastic results. One warning, however, there's only a few products that work. Not every broccoli seed actually has the precursor to sulforaphane in it that actually then converts to sulforaphane when it's chewed. And so I like to leave it here. You know, so find your product, and but in November I will reveal to you the exact sources of where you will get the best acting product. And believe me, I will not be financially involved in that. I'm a scientist in that way. The other one is Cistus tea. Cistus incanus is a shrub from Sardinia. And here's just one of the papers that shows potent in vitro antiviral activity against HIV and flu viruses. And this is from the text down here, yeah, that they could not find any HIV virus that was resistant to it. They used it in HIV patients that had not responded to protease inhibitors and antiretroviral therapy, and then gave them Sister's T with a 100% success rate. So there's a little bit more. Sister's also has the strongest effect against spiral kids, and it's the spiral ketal activity of the ingredients in the Sister's. It's a fantastic biofilm breaker. And if we drink this tea together with stevia, and we have a huge effect against both retroviruses and against Lyme disease. And so the stevia article, I think many of you know, because we believe was instrumented in background with that, that stevia is, you know, there's three antibiotics that are supposed to be the golden middle now of treating Lyme, daptomycin, doxycycline, and septin. And it was compared with giving people stevia, and stevia worked better than the three antibiotics. Last one here is a cream, and I am financially involved with that one. It's called Sophia Flow. It's a cream you apply to the front of your neck that has bioactive molecules that have a tremendous effect on this issue. Yeah? And so eat your broccoli sprouts. If you grow fresh sprouts, they should be about 2 inches high when you cut them. And then you chop them up, and it's a heaping tablespoon twice a day. The Sister's tea is 6 to 8 cups a day, and the source of the one that actually works is called KiScience, KiScience.com. And my institute is called KlingHardInstitute.com. This is where you can get more information and talks I've given and DVDs and supportive materials if you want to learn more from me. But I think that's it. I think I've got through. And questions or whatever. I think Lee, you're on, right? You have your.
Yeah. I sent you an email to be able to reconnect to hear us. That was an amazing presentation, Dietrich, and I thank you for that. And I want to give a few. Ed is trying to connect with Dr. Klinghart so he can get where he can hear us again. Yeah. Well, he has to answer your phone. Yeah, that's it. Good. Anthony asked Dr. Klinghart to
mute the thing within somebody else's computer.
Okay. Technical difficulties.
Mm-hmm. But let me quickly get somebody who knows. Just hang on just a sec.
And then, I need you quickly. I need to reload the page in my own
copy. Yeah. Yeah.
It says push the button on the reload on the browser.
Okay. All right, Dr. Klinghart, if you'll sign back in, be able to hear us. I want to, before we do the questions and answers, I want to do a few brief announcements here, and then we'll go straight to Dr. Klinghart so we can answer some of the questions that were put on the chat box. If you have additional questions, make sure you start typing those questions into the chat box on the right. Please mark your calendars for July 7th webinar. Dr. Norm Sheely is going to give us a presentation on treating and preventing diabetic neuropathy. So for this webinar, really the attendees will learn how to inexplicably screen for diabetic neuropathy, what natural therapies prevent and reverse diabetes, pre-diabetes, and diabetic neuropathy. How can pulsed electromagnetic field therapy be used to reverse diabetic neuropathy, and a few more pearls from his 6 years of practice. Six decades of practice. And also mark your calendars for July 19th through the 21st in Dallas. We'll have our second level, our intermediate level hands-on workshop teaching the types of integrated therapies that can obviously be taught with a didactic training like we're doing right now. And then September 20th through the 22nd, we'll have advanced level training that will include the oxidative therapies, ozone, ultraviolet, blood radiation, high dose intravenous vitamin C, chelation therapy, a lot of other nutritional therapies, as well as prolozone or injection of joints with ozone, and a lot of other fascinating topics. And then in November, as Dr. Plingard mentioned, we're going to have a brain regeneration conference in Dallas and in Orlando. The brain regeneration conference, Dr. Klinghart is one of, I think, 20 presenters that we'll have there. So that's going to be an amazing conference. So we had at least two dozen attendees from our conference last year who, at the end of the conference, said that that was the best conference that they'd ever attended. And these are practitioners that have been to several conferences every year for many years. So do try to make it to that conference out in Orlando. On the intermediate workshop that's coming up July 19th and 21st, we're going to be teaching four different types of muscle testing, intermediate level, iridology, ear reading, Chinese ear reading, and pulse reading, electroacupressure, clamping therapy, Evox reframing, which is voice therapy, and emotion code, and then restore joy and will to live. How you go about doing that, and reversing the subconscious sabotage that oftentimes people have. And then advanced clearing energetics from Richard Fluke out of Canada, fascinating work, extension of the work of Dr. Rocky Allen. Equiscope and other PMF devices, brain gauge, cortical metrics, electrical screening, Theragen, the Delta laser or Comra device, multiple electromagnetic and ultrasound therapy, and frequent photonic therapy, exercise and oxygen therapy, audiovisual entrainment, cranial electrical stimulation, and others. So you'll really want to be present if you want to get new tools to learn how to help your patients with chronic illness. Some of the comments from our April workshop, Dr. Shiva came to see what we were doing. And he said that the April event in Dallas was the best conference he had been to in 62 years, which is quite a statement, since he goes to many conferences every year and has done that for 62 years. And then the other comments were also very impressive. So the people that are on the webinar right now can get a $400 discount off of the July workshop in Dallas if you use the code at checkout, July500. So you go to acionconnect.com and click on the intermediate level 2 workshop in Dallas, and then at the checkout, put in July500 in the checkout window. All right. So, I don't know if Dr. Klinghart's back on here just yet, but it doesn't look like it yet. I think Anthony's trying to help him with that. I'm going to go down and answer a couple of questions. Oh, there he is. Excellent. Let me back in. Can you hear me now, Dietrich?
Yeah, I've heard you all along.
Excellent. Good. All right. So I'm going to go to the first question. One of the first questions was, and I think you answered that during the course of your presentation, but they want to know, how much contribution is there from the toxic load to getting these retroviral illnesses?
Well, as I mentioned before, amongst all the toxins that we've looked at, by following the retroviral indicators, what gets them down is when we detox glyphosate and aluminum are clearly the top of the heap. There's thousands of others, and in selected cases it can be another toxin, but I would clearly say about 80% of the population of chronically ill people, if the key piece is to get the aluminum down and the glyphosate.
Yeah. Okay. And I presume you'll talk more about that in your workshop in Orlando in November then.
Absolutely. It will be very practical then.
Good. Okay. So the next question here was, does frequency treatment or microcurrent treatment seem to help these get rid of these retroviruses?
Well, some of you know that I had an electronic company together with my nurse at the time, somebody else, and we got busted by the FDA, and that put us a little bit on hold for about 15 years. But now the an instrument that came out of the same lab is the frequency specific microcurrent, and we do see in our chronically ill patients that clearly suffer from the retroviral activation sometimes amazing progress, especially when it's used on the brain, but it's too early for me to say for sure. We don't have lab work before and after.
Yeah. And the next question was some clarification on how you determine whether the MTHFR gene is an induced problem or a genetic problem passed for the parents.
Well, there is no direct proof because the mutation is the same mutation and there's only one test available. But it's very clear from the literature that it's much more common that the mutation that we see is induced in this lifetime from the retroviruses than that it's inherited. And so I just encourage people, if you test both parents and they do not have the mutation, and the patient does, then you know it's retroviral induced. It's the only, it's unlikely the patient was exposed to a nuclear bomb that caused the mutation. It takes 25,000 years to mutate genes, based on environmental changes, but the retroviruses take a few seconds to do that. And so the only test is by test mom and dad and the offspring, and then you know.
Another question was about cannabis. Have you found that it's helpful to have the THC included along with the CBD in order to get better effect, or is the CBD by itself sufficient?
Well, we had the same issue, with the stevia. Coca-Cola makes a beautiful stevia extract, and when you give that to a Lyme patient, it has no effect whatsoever. You need the whole plant to have the documented anti-Lyme effect. And the same is here. When you take a isolate from a plant, we had the same with artesunate. Artesunate is wormwood. Somebody got the Nobel Prize in 2015 for having created this beautiful extract for the treatment of malaria called artemisinin. And then only a year later, a study came out that when you take the whole plant, you get more profound healing effects in malaria than the extract. And the same we found here. The CBD was a way out, when marijuana, cannabis was so stigmatized and so shame-riddled that we had to take one of the over 60 ingredients and promote it because it had some neurological benefits. But it's very clear that the endocannabinoid receptors, to be primed to even be functioning to open up, need a little bit of THC. And we hold the position that it should be the whole extract, and it should not be smoked, it should not be eaten, it should be taken sublingually in tiny doses, just enough to create the stimulation without causing the mind to be all screwed up.
Yeah. This is an interesting question about the use of kudzu. If you have any experience about the use of kudzu as an alternative to serenip?
No, I don't, because at least in Europe, we have access, legal access to serenine, and it's beautiful. And actually made a homeopathic dilution of it. We found that when we're dealing with receptors, like the vitamin D receptor responds beautiful to homeopathic dilution of ornithorzan with Benicar, rather than giving the full drug. We only need a homeopathic dilution to stimulate the receptor. And the same is true with Zurmin. By giving it as a homeopathic, you're getting near the same effect as if you would be injecting it. And so that's why we haven't looked at alternatives. But you know, Zurmin is a pretty complex molecule, even though it was created in 1916. But when you look at the structure of it, it has kind of 8 ring structures and is really sophisticated. It's hard for me to imagine that there is a natural ingredient, a natural plant-based thing that has that rapid of it. Remember, like when you inject zoning, it's within a few hours you get the full healing response, and that lasts for 6 weeks. It's just unique in that way. And so, but you know, I'm open to you guys experimenting and then letting us know. You know, ultimately, we do only want to use herbs, things that are grown by God, not by some pharmaceutical company.
Yeah, well, and maybe by the time that we have the conference in November, either you or some of the others that are listening will have found some new answers in just the last month since I heard your presentation in New Jersey. I found a few additional useful antiretrovirals. So we're going to a lot of that information in November. So put on your calendar to come November 8th through the 10th to Orlando to learn more about this. The next question was about the Cystis T from a BioPure and comparing it to the tea that has the sulfur key science. Is there a significant difference?
Well, the BioPure one is very good. It's clean. It's good. It's from Greece, from a Greek island. The one from Key Science. The unique thing is, I just tell you right off the bat, they're both grown the same way, but the one in Sardinia is made, there is a special type of ant in Sardinia. And so the entire harvest of cistus in Sardinia is placed next to an ant hill. The ants move into the cistus harvest, and within 20 minutes, they've taken all eggs, larvae, anything that's of insect origin, they're taking out and completely cleaning it up. That means it can be grown and processed without using any chemicals, anything that would get rid of the bugs that naturally come with plants. And so it's the cleanest of all the products anywhere in the world. But, you know, if you use the cistus for 6 months, it is absolutely no problem. The one from BioPure is the cleanest that you can get commercially. There's no question. And you do it for 6 months, 9 months, no problem. But we want people to be on it for their entire life. Both as a preventative, you know, it also prevents tick bites, insect bites. There's a German dog study that shows that. And so since it prevents, you know, Lyme, it treats herpes viruses that's out there. It treats the retroviruses. It's the most universal of all things. I think on the long run, it's just a tiny bit safer to use a key science one.
Another question was, does sulforaphane need to be pulsed? In other words, is there a constant upregulatory effect of the NRF2? Or is it better? Is it better than one or more for continuous?
Well, let's put it this way: if some of you decide to go onto the broccoli sprout treatment. There's certainly no harm in staying on it until November. And in November, I will disclose like some of the more intimate secrets with it of how to make it work for cancer. It's fantastic to treat and prevent prostate cancer. It's fantastic to treat and prevent breast cancer, but you have to know a little bit more. And so we will go into that.
Okay, excellent. And also, this question about the effect of the retroviruses on the mitochondrial function, on mitochondrial energetics.
Yeah, well, here's my deal that I'm very sure about. Yeah, so the only, you know, there is a big deal about mitochondrial illness and what to do. And the truth is, there's been a madness about treating mitochondrial illness for the last 10, 15 years. There is a European practitioner, Dr. Kramer, who's very, very famous for his mitochondrial treatment. But the truth is, I haven't seen a single patient get well from it. This is the clinical experience. And so when a theory doesn't match up with the results, it needs to be looked at. And what I showed you in this talk was the key parameter that was always used for the mitochondrial illness is ATP measurements. And as I showed you, ATP actually goes up when the cell is in trouble. And high ATP was always valued as a good thing. And I very much doubt that the techniques used in the lab to decide that it is the content within the mitochondria that is measured is just simply not true. So it was very misleading. Remember, when ATP is high, that means there's a lot of cells in trouble. It's not a good thing. And so there's been a lot of misleading information, and my point is that the many of the articles I showed you, when you actually read the full paper, and show that the highest level of retroviral activity is actually in the mitochondria. It is actually the most likely agent that is sickening our mitochondria, and then treating that with carnitine and B vitamins is a joke. We need to treat the viruses, and so it's a very, very new idea, and of course the people, the mitochondrial fans, you know, continue doing what you're doing that seems to work. It has not worked in my patients. We have not had success with looking at the feeding the mitochondria, the good stuff. It has just simply not worked. And at least the sub-selection of patients that we, you know, the average patient that I see, they've seen 26 other institutions and practitioners before they come to me. So I may have self-selected a group of patients that have retroviral illness, but I doubt it. I think it's ubiquitous now. I think the 24/7 exposure to electromagnetic radiation and the universal exposure to glyphosate and the persistent contrails raining aluminum down on us has created a scenario that is destructive to the entire world population, and the agent that actually executes the will that's inherent here is the retroviruses. And in a way, I think, you know, I'm a Christian, and I believe it's a self-regulatory thing. We have already embedded in us the suicide program called retroviruses, and if we're stepping outside what's biologically good for the earth, if we're destroying the earth, if we do destructive things, already in us is a program for self-destruction, and that's activated now. And that's a chronic illness that is, you know, telling us, hey, we're off the path, we get on the path.
Yeah. Last year, there was over 1 billion pounds of Roundup sprayed in the United States, and statistically speaking, I'm told that if it rained, there was a 70% chance that there was Roundup in the rain. So we're really getting pounded heavily with that. One person asked, what is your favorite glyphosate test?
Well, it's a urine test, and I know we test it regularly in the office, but I don't know the lab. It's not Moms for America that was a test that was designed to not work. Moms across America, you know, that was very, very disappointing that, you know, it was so advertised, oh, yeah, finally we can test for it, and then, you know, only like, whatever, 1 in 4 people tested for it, and the new test, it's over 90% of our patients test positive, and the ones that do not test positive are the sickest ones, because they cannot excrete it, you know, they're bubbling it. But that's, again, in November, I will bring up diagnosing and the treatment of glyphosate toxicity.
All right. Next question. the CD test, then we know if the CD tests are generally available in the laboratory in the United States, and I think the answer is definitely yes.
Yeah, all the tests that I mentioned are available, but we pretty much reduced it to Nagalase and Rantes. They're beautiful parameters, they're easily available, they're very affordable, and you can get them through LabCorp, and that should be enough for the moment. I hope that the political winds will change. We have some signs that actually under the current president, things are actually improving. At least in my reality, maybe it's the chaos around him that is helpful or whatever that is. And I think Julie Mikovits needs to have her lab back and
yes.
To be back on the microscope and the Bunsen burner. The labs have been sabotaged to make this diagnosis, and there's obviously a, you know, I mean, we talk about that privately, you know, but the shadow behind the shadows behind the government and the institutions that have been haunting us for decades is still there and is not interested in us being able to look at the retroviruses. And so we need to resort to indirect tests that are used elsewhere in medicine. And people should learn the muscle testing from you. You've had great teachers. And you know, we have the test vial, so to say, that has a very, very accurate representation of the retroviruses that are relevant for our work. And so we can make the diagnosis in a few seconds using the energetic testing and the treatments based on it are just phenomenal and beautiful and safe and biological and lead the patient back on the right path.
Well, I promised you that I would let you get out of there in time to make it to your plane, so we'll cut it off here and resume November 8th through the 10th in Orlando. So everybody should sign up for that and attend. And put on your calendars July 7th for the presentation from Dr. Sheely, and also put on your calendars the July 19th through the 21st conference there in Dallas. And just you decide to come to that, save the $400 by putting the July 500 code at the checkout. So thank you so much, Dr. Klinghart, for your excellent information, and we look forward to having you present to us again.
Thank you, Lee. It's an honor to be your friend and your colleague. You do good work.
Likewise. Yeah, all right. And thank everyone for attending.